If you help your men thrive in marriages, if you help the men of your church do really well, your church is going to do better. And one of the key issues in pastoral care and marriage is leading your men to have great marriages. How would you do that? What as a pastor, what are the key things you're going to help men to do to be great husbands? First of all, every man needs his own walk with God. You can do counseling and you can do everything under the sun to talk about marriage and better marriages and here's the principles of communication and here's this and that and the next thing. But if that man does not have his own walk with God, it's like you're building all of these things and still on shifting sand. His love for his wife comes out of his love for the Lord. You're helping him to find that humble masculinity where he's fully a man, but there's that Christ in him, that masculinity that's just not unbridled masculinity. If he can thrive as a man, and let's just say even as a single, maybe you're doing pre-marriage counseling, and the guy comes before you, but, you know, I'm going to come to church and everything because Joan wants me to come to church. That's very dangerous, because if he is not thriving or walking or connected to God, it's going to be hard for him to really be the leader and thrive in marriage. In some ways, as it says in Ephesians 5:8, this principle cannot be violated. For you were once darkness, but now you're the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Before we talk about a man in marriage, that relationship with God, that home discipleship, that personal man-home discipleship is vitally important. The second thing I've noticed about men thriving in marriage is a man needs to stay busy. And I want to talk about the distinction between work and job. A lot of times, especially in various cultures and places and economies, jobs could be more scarce than other times, or they could be out of a job. And so what often happens, I've seen, is that a man can go idle. A man can, just watch TV, or a man can just be on the computer. And you know what I have found is if a man is going to thrive in his marriage, he has got to stay busy. Now, I want to talk about the work and job distinction. Let's say a man's job is eliminated for whatever reason. There's always work out there. Even while he's looking for that next job, there's work in the church, there's work around the house, there's work. Stay busy. And so many times in our culture, when a man loses his job, he lost his work. So what you want to encourage your men, even if they're not working at a job right now, that Ecclesiastes 11:6 really applies. Sow your seeds in the morning and in the evening. Let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. And what I would encourage men who are unemployed is volunteer. Find a connection. Get your foot in the door. Take a low-paying job for a little while. Somehow or other, keep a man busy. Now, one of the things you got to help a man to know is who is it that he's married to? Who is a woman? Who is she? And one of the points to help men see is that she is a spiritual being. That she has a relationship with God or not. She is a dominion seeker. In other words, she too, whether it's having children or whether it's working, she has that dream, that calling at home, her work, her life. She's relational. And I would even say relationally more sensitive than maybe the guy is. Whereas, guys, our sense of relationship in some ways are a lot more shallow in comparison to a woman. For a woman, the quality of relationship means a lot. If she feels she's in poor relationship with you, the man, her day will be ruined. Whereas a guy, we can sort of we're not happy that the relationship suffers a little while, but we can easily put that out of our mind often. Intimate sexual. Now, on this, Who's a woman? A woman is not usually just going to go right to the bedroom. There's much more of an emotional and romantic piece. And no, that's just how she's hardwired. You can fight it all you want, but understand she is woman. Now, I understand that different women experience these things differently. I'm talking in general language here. And understand that your wife is a little girl at heart. She wants to have fun and play, and at times she wants to just be that little girl. And she wants to be protected. She wants to go out on the playground with you. And I don't care what age, never forget that. So, as you're a pastor or a Christian leader, what is it that you want your people to understand that a wife needs from her husband? Well, let's just go back to basics. Number one, a man who takes spiritual initiative of his vital walk. You know, Psalm 112, I love that passage. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his command. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. The Bible is clear. Be that kind of a man. Help your men to own their walk. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his command. That respect, that opening God's word, finds great delight in his command. A woman needs a man who is walking with God. What else does a wife need? A wife needs affirmation, love, faithfulness from her husband. You know, Proverbs 30, verse 21, I think is a very compelling and powerful passage. Under three things, the earth trembles. Under four, it cannot bear up. A servant who becomes king, a fool who is full of food. And notice this, an unloved woman who is married, and a maidservant who displaces her mistress. In other words, husbands, your wives need to know your loyalty. That your love faithfulness, your loving faithfulness, your love and faithfulness, your affirming of her as your wife. You know, I'm talking to you, to the men. Men, and this is what, as a pastor and leader, is to help the men see. A man can destroy their wife's emotional well-being in 25 seconds of critical, negative talk that just puts them down. You know, pays attention to, you're not as young as you used to be. You know, is that a curve I see that's growing by your stomach? You know, you better go on a diet. All of that stuff, that critical attitude. What a wife needs from her husband is affirmation, love, faithfulness. If husbands get that right, so many other wives will do anything for their husbands. What a wife needs from her husband, active communication is the next thing. Sharing your feelings, guys. You know, as pastors and leaders, somehow finding, like maybe it's a support group or a way for the men to actively learn how to communicate. It says in Colossians 3:9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. You know, there's an emotional lying that men can do. And what to their wives, where they say one thing, but they're not really communicating what they really believe and feel. You know, in premarriage counseling, this is really interesting. In the first year of marriage, husbands find out that they're not communicating in the same emotional plane with their wives. So in premarriage counseling, to back that up, I always try to help the young men or the man learn how to communicate some of his emotions. As we talked about earlier in this class, emotions in themselves are not bad. And even men, maybe men are not going to be totally comfortable with emotions, but there is still that comfortable feeling to say what they mean and to say what they feel, and to then also be able to receive a wife's communication without freaking out and shutting off because it was all emotional. A wife needs the husband to see her as an indispensable partner in the marriage. That's the next thing. What a wife needs from the husband, considered that the wife is considered an indispensable partner in the marriage. Genesis 2, 23 and 24, the man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man." You know, that passage is very powerful. Later in the next passage, it talks about a man leaving father and mother and being united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. There is a partnership that is designed by God, and this partnership is so strong. And if you're married to her and you kind of see her as, well, she's a dependent, or she's not really in my life, but she's just kind of nice for the bedroom, or she does the dishes, or she cooks, and you miss out that you are, in a sense, a kingdom business now, and you have a new partnership, and that woman is with you until your last breath in the days on this earth. It's like an attitude. It's a commitment. It's an attitude. And a woman knows and feels if they are not a partner with you. What else does a wife need from her husband? Safety and security. You know, it says in Ephesians 5:28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it. You know, as a husband, and I've seen that recently, there are husbands out there who, you know, let my wife work, or, you know, I don't know, she wants to do it, or, you know, in they just take the responsibility of safety and security and sort of like, whatever, I don't care. And they stop trying. But as a pastor and a leader, we want to keep encouraging the men of our church to rise up to provide safety and protection to their spouse. You know, and I'll even take this one further, to their whole family. That protection motif is not just for the wife, it's for the whole family. What does a wife need from her husband? Well, here's another one. Relational sizzle. And that often promotes sexual response. Kevin Lehman wrote a book called Sex Begins in the Kitchen. And we also see that in Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wife. And here's that second part. Do not be harsh with them. Now, in the Greek, what does harsh mean? It means be in relationship with them. Let your words be more gentle. Romantic. A woman sees sexual intimacy much more through the eyes of the quality of your relationship. And that's just the way it is. So if you would like to have a lot of sexual intimacy with your wife, these things we just talked about in as pastors, communicate that to your parishioners. That the relationship has to be fun in so much as you can make it that way. Relational sizzle. Don't just buy her flowers at her 25th anniversary or her 10 year. Do things sort of random and communicate. You know, one of the things that I bought for my iPhone is an interesting thing. And if you go over here, it's called Love Tips. And it's for a guy, and it really is good because it will say various things like, you know, say I love you or I miss you is simple. Okay, that's simple. Why do I need to say it? But you know what? If I look at my daily iPhone reminder, I will remember and I'll say those little things. And I see what a difference those little things make. And as a pastor, we can help our men do these little relational sizzle things. Let's now talk about some practical steps for helping men to thrive. Right in your own church. Well, help the men start men's meetings. I'll tell you get men together, and one of the things they talk about is how they can be better husbands. And they confess some of their struggles and their walls and their you know, if one of them has a struggle with pornography, if men are sitting together and they're talking and they're, it's fascinating how they can talk to one another and there's an encouragement to, you know, stay true and pure and all those things. And that's great. Get your men together. Get men involved in ways that help them thrive in your church. A lot of times, in another class I teach, it's called Why Men Hate Going to Church. It's a whole book about how churches are often tailor-made right now for the feminine, and there's a lot of things that the masculine don't really get involved in. You know, and start thinking about how can men get involved more in the church, and what are things that men really thrive in? Great book to read, Why Men Hate Going to Church. I highly recommend it. Hold a men's retreat and go through the material that we just talked about in this session. Just take the slideshow. You just put it up on the internet, put it up and say, I'm taking this class, and here are some things. Let's talk about them. Create men mentoring relationships in your church, where you have older men and younger men, and you see a man who's struggling or a newly married man. You know, as church leaders, as a pastor, elder leaders, intentionally say which younger men need a mentor, and then assign some of the older men that have strong relationships to hang out with the younger men. The bottom line in this whole enterprise is we find ways for men to thrive, to encourage them to love being married, to take their vows seriously, to get with other men to encourage them as well. If men thrive in their walk with God and in their marriage, your church is going to thrive in ways that you can never imagine.